This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, October 5th. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you how you can win one of 200 nativity sets valued at over $500 just in time for this Advent. So stay tuned. But first of all, I want to bring in our news anchor extraordinaire, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, yesterday was a tough day for Facebook and Instagram with that long worldwide outage. What's the latest? What's going on?
Well, things are all back and running this morning, John, but a weird day for folks yesterday if their addiction to social media wasn't able to be sated there. But 6 hours out, and today everything back for Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Their worst outage since 2008, things down on all three and more platforms as well. For about 6 hours yesterday. And not only was it out, but Mark Zuckerberg, because of stocks going down with the outage, said to have lost about $6 billion. Ironically, small percentage.
Can you
small
imagine?
Percentage of, six of the total
billion.
Pocketbook. But six
What's
billion.
A billion here, a billion there?
I don't know, apparently. And they're blaming it on a configuration change. And if folks would like to hear a little more maybe speculation on what might or might not have happened, again, to access the archives, Mark Mastriani was on with us in the previous hour talking about that. And the timing, John, seems a little odd with a 60 Minutes expose on some Facebook practices yesterday and that person speaking to Congress today.
Absolutely. So we're going to stay tuned as this drama continues. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of this hearing in Congress today with the whistleblower. There's a lot on the line, Glenn.
Yeah, there certainly is. It certainly is interesting to see what goes on and how much regulation ultimately will be pushed upon social media. At one time, radio and TV were brand new and the FCC hadn't regulated things, but after a while they had to. And, you know, we may end up with more regulation on the socials as well. And speaking of money for things, it wasn't a $6 billion swing, but some $60 million in funding for Planned Parenthood that President Trump had cut through Title X because he didn't want taxpayer money going for abortions. That's been overturned now by President Biden.
Yeah, and a lot of people keeping an eye on that because obviously President Biden, who is a Catholic, you would think that he would defend a Catholic teaching. He's obviously shown time and time again that he is in favor of the pro-abortion movement, unfortunately.
And John, almost a bigger fuss than the Facebook stuff yesterday, and it proved to be humorous for so many. The CDC said to be calling for very small Christmas gatherings outside if possible, if inside, put a fan in the window, and people in the northern climates going, this is kind of strange. Well, what was really strange was these CDC guidelines were mistakenly put on their website. They were from last year.
Wow. Yeah, I saw some of that interview with Dr. Fauci in which he says he was misquoted. And so he said, if you're vaccinated, go ahead and have a wonderful Christmas. But that's not what he said just days earlier. So we'll continue to keep an eye on that as well. Turning to sports, I know you're a big sports fan. We've got the American League wild card game tonight in Fenway Park. Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. This is a classic confrontation.
It certainly is. Baseball's postseason gets underway. And the last time the Yanks and Red Sox, who always have that great rivalry going, had a one-game playoff was in 1978. And Bucky Dent with the Yankees hit a three-run homer over the Green Monster, giving the Yanks the victory. But they'll play tonight, first pitch at 7 Central Time, New York, at Boston. And on the National League side, last year's World Series champs with a great record, winning over 100 games, still have to win the wild card to move ahead. They'll host the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League wild card tomorrow night.
That'll be very interesting as well. The Cardinals, who have been red hot down the stretch here. I don't think anybody wants to tangle with the St. Louis Cardinals these days. So anything can happen in the postseason is the old adage.
Certainly. And once again, as Cubs and Twins fans here on the morning program, we'll be watching with longing from a distance.
Just remember, Glenn, any team can have a bad century.
Don't we know it?
Wait till next year for our guys. All right. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
All righty, John.
We begin every hour giving thanks to our Lord in prayer through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit, come as we invoke the Holy Spirit every single day here on the show. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up in a few minutes, International Catholic Evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina continues our weekly Remember You Are Loved series. And a little bit later, at the bottom of the hour, Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky will discuss the upcoming Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, as well as Respect Life Month. And we'll also talk about Relevant Radio's joint effort with EWTN and the Napa Institute here in October to pray the Rosary for Life. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that coming up here this hour on Morning Air. As we do every day, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 6:33. Our blessed Lord Jesus says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well." The legendary NFL coach Vince Lombardi used to say, "God, family, Green Bay Packers." Even though I'm a Chicago Bears fan, his principle resonates deep within me and ties in to our scripture verse today. We need to put God number one in our life, and then our family, and then our profession or vocation. The Lord needs to be number one in our life, and then everything else will fall into place. Make Jesus the Lord of your life, and we pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Now, we're only in the first full week of October, and Christmas may seem a little bit far away, but Advent will be here before you know it. This Advent, let's boldly proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ in our neighborhoods. Relevant Radio wants to give you and your family a beautiful hand-painted nativity set for your lawn. You can sign up. It's real easy. Just go to relevantradio.com/nativity to win one of 200 nativity sets valued at over $500. Keep in mind, there's only 200 of these sets available. Let's make this Christmas a Christmas to remember by making room for Christ inside our hearts and outside of our homes. You can register now at relevantradio.com/nativity. You only have until midnight Central Time on October 15th, so the clock is ticking away to sign up. Now let's talk about love.
When I say goodbye, it is never for long, 'cause I know our love still lives on. It'll be again exactly like it was, 'cause I believe in the power of love.
Yes, indeed, some of us have visited a desert before, maybe even lived in one. Some of us may be in a desert as we speak or know someone who is. Deserts are dry places. Deserts can be very, very deserted and lonely places. Listen to my conversation with international bilingual evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, who spoke to us about what it takes to be not afraid to open wide the doors to love like a shepherd and a fisherman. Martha, very interesting topic for this week as we dive into it. But, you know, I'm very curious, what do fishing and shepherding have to do with one another and with fear and deserts?
Nothing. Well, depends. It has to do with a beautiful homily that Pope Benedict XVI gave the day of his inauguration as Pope, when he was when he became the Vicar of Christ, and that was in 2005. And he reflected, after the long papacy of now St. John Paul II, he gave a brief homily on that April day in 2005. And he spoke about the imposition of the pallium, excuse me, which is placed on him, and the conferral of the fisherman's ring. And he talked about these two symbolisms that we find in that imposition and on receiving the fisherman's ring himself. And he spoke about how the Lord calls us to be fishers of men, because he himself is a fisher of men, and how the Lord calls us to shepherd one another, but especially, of course, the Pope, to be the great fisher of men and the great shepherd of souls. And so he reflected on that, and he spoke about the fact that we live in deserts and with many fears, and he called us in line with, in continuity with his predecessor, St. John Paul II, to be not afraid. And so that's where all these images come together in a beautiful way, in a beautiful homily that's going to say something today, hopefully to each one of us, about love and about God, who is our lover.
Well, Martha, just on a personal note, I just wanted to add that just shortly after Pope Benedict became the Holy Father back in 2005, my wife and I, we actually had an opportunity to meet the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, personally at a papal audience and receive his blessing during our honeymoon. So Pope Benedict is always very special in our family, and have a beautiful photo, in fact, in my office with Pope Benedict smiling from ear to ear at my wife and myself as we're meeting him and getting that blessing during our honeymoon. So his words are very very powerful, and I think that, you know, and I have a copy of his homily from that day in which he begins by saying that the human race, every one of us, is the sheep lost in the desert which no longer knows the way. What a way to start out his homily, by reminding us that in so many ways we are sheep in search of a shepherd.
That's exactly right. And what a beautiful memory you have on such a personal note. And that's the kind of memory that we also want to have of Christ, Christ smiling at us. And many times we are not smiling back because, as you said, in that homily, he talks about the fact that the human race is lost, that we all in some way have lost the way. He says, no longer do these sheep, that would be us, know the way. And then he goes on to talk about the beautiful mission that he knows the Lord had placed on him. But he also turns in that homily and kind of says that we all share in this common mission to be like our Lord, who is looking at us with love, who abandons his place in heaven, as we see in Philippians 4, you know, that he did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took on the form of a slave, right? Even to the point of death, death on a cross. And so he cannot abandon humanity, which he created with such love. So he abandons the glory of heaven and becomes man. And he comes down to our wretchedness, which reminds me, John, the Pope says in that homily, he says he cannot abandon humanity in so wretched a condition. Reminds me of that great hymn that so many of us know and love, Amazing Grace, how sweet the song, right? That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And so the Holy Father goes on to talk about the fact that the Lord leaps to his feet and abandons the glory of heaven in order to go in search of the sheep, to pursue it. And I always highlight the verbs, leaps, abandons, searches, to pursue us all the way to the cross. And then he takes us on his shoulders like a good shepherd, and he carries humanity. And that's where the Pope then goes on to talk about the fact that he carries us all as a good shepherd, and lays down his life. And then he goes on to say, we're carried by Christ, and he invites us to carry one another, to enter into that mission of the Redeemer.
Absolutely. And Martha, I want to go back to the desert metaphor, because the Pope Benedict also used that example, saying that so many people are living in the desert, the different kinds of deserts, deserts of poverty, desert of hunger and thirst, desert of abandonment, of loneliness, of destroyed love. He really hits home the fact that we are in the desert and we're in need of the shepherd.
Yes, we are. And in fact, he says there that there are external deserts and there are internal deserts. And you mentioned some. Sometimes it's the things around us, you know, when things aren't going well in our society, in our family, in our relationships, financially, whatever it may be. But also there's that inner hunger for love, that inner thirst for God. We want some love on the inside. We want to be accompanied so that we're not in the desert, as he says, of abandonment or loneliness, which you and I talked about last week, right? That heart homelessness that so many of us have. Or that word, I was so struck when he said, of destroyed love. And isn't that so true, John? You and I know people, you who are listening to us this morning, maybe you've had your love, your marriage destroyed, maybe the relationship with a child of yours, maybe a good friendship, and it's been destroyed. And you're distraught in a desert, so to speak. And then he points out something that each one of us need to be so cognizant of. And Father Rocky was just mentioning about the rosary and the dignity of life and the goal of human life, that we're all called to recognize our own dignity and the dignity of others and the whole goal of our existence, which is to make it to heaven, to enjoy eternal life with our Lord. And so we have these internal and external deserts that keep us in a drought, so to speak, that keep us dried up. And we could even shrivel up if our love tank is not full of the love of God. Our spiritual life can shrivel up. And so we can be become prey to exploitation, to destruction, and a loss of friendship, even with the Son of God, the one who gives us life and life in abundance. And so that's why we need to be good shepherds with our Lord, the Good Shepherd, and also fishers of men.
Martha, how can we learn to imitate Christ, the Good Shepherd, and develop a shepherd heart and a deeper love for our fellow sheep?
Well, precisely asking the Lord to make my heart like unto yours. You know, there's that prayer that we say, Sacred Heart of Jesus, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto yours. Make my heart more and more like yours, Lord. Lord, show me, how do I look at people the way that you look at people? When I encounter someone, whether I know them or I don't know them, whether it's someone who's a family member or a coworker or a friend or a stranger, how do I look at them? How do I notice whenever they might be entering into or stuck in a desert? Maybe if they are lost and cannot find their way, if they are out of sync with this friendship with the Son of God, with God himself, how can I, Lord, help them? How can I pastor them? You know, one of my favorite songs is that one, Shepherd, what is it? Shepherd Me, O Lord. It's Shepherd Me, O Lord. And so many times, John, we encounter people who want to be shepherded. They want to be brought into the fold. They want to be brought into the warmth of security in Christ. And they're not feeling, the Holy Father himself says it. He says, a shepherd must be there to love the people entrusted to him, because he loves Christ, he serves Christ, and he hears the Lord saying, feed my sheep, right? Of course, this is to the Holy Father and bishops, but all of us can feed one another, as Jesus says in more than one occasion in the gospel. He says, feed them yourselves. Feeding, he says, the Pope says, means loving. Loving also means being ready to suffer. Loving means giving the sheep what is truly good. The Lord, he says, gives us more and more, so we need to give more and more to the sheep.
Martha, I want to just briefly talk about fishing. Our Lord told Peter that he would be a fisher of men, the successor of St. Peter. Pope Benedict XVI also talked about fishing both successfully and unsuccessfully.
fishing is something that I enjoy looking at other people doing. I don't fish myself, but I'm always intrigued, and I'm always talking to fishermen wherever I see one, whether it's a river, a lake, or the beach, even sometimes fish. And I'm intrigued because the Lord used that example. And the Holy Father plays with words in that homily, and he says that you would think that it's not good for the fish to be taken out of the water. And yet he says that a lot of times people are in the wrong pond, so to speak. They're in the wrong place with water that is not life-giving. And we need to pluck them out of that water and place them into the life-giving waters that Jesus offers, which he talks about also in the Gospel of St. John. The life-giving water, which is the Holy Spirit, which bubbles up within you and unto new life. And so that's where we, as the Lord says in Luke 5, need to go into the deep, let down our nets for a great catch.
I love that image. And in fact, that's something that we all can do our own part and continue to share the gospel, as our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, also taught, that we need to not only know Christ, but we need to introduce him to others. Martha, how can our listeners find more about your ministry and invite you to their parishes?
They can go to my website, MarthaFernandezSardina.com. They can also go to RememberYouAreLoved.com. And they can also find some old articles in which I speak a lot about evangelization at IEvangelize.wordpress.com. And I am ready to help all of you with an obedience testing, vision expanding, faith stretching, trust strengthening, team building, space enlarging, net busting, boat sinking, miraculous catch with and for Christ, so that we might become fishers of men, letting down our nets and letting down our lives for the sheep.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, Martha, as always.
Thank you. And remember, you are loved.
And that was Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com and the host of Remember You Are Loved TV series. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, our Relevant Radio CEO, Father Rocky, will discuss the upcoming Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary and Respect Life Month, as well as Relevant Radio's joint effort with EWTN and the Napa Institute here in October to pray the Rosary for life. You're not going to want to miss Father Rocky. Stay with us. There's much more to come. As Morning Air continues after this short timeout.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
32 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll bring you yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, as we've been talking about for days, October is the month of the Rosary and also Respect Life Month. For a historical perspective, let's go back to the year 1571. An enormous battalion of Turkish ships are sailing towards Italy. The Ottoman Turks are threatening Europe once again, and the prospects of a European victory are by no means assured. How did our Blessed Mother, how did Our Lady on October the 7th, 1571, help to save Europe from the encroaching Turks? We're now joined live by Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the CEO of Relevant Radio, to talk about the upcoming Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary and the historic Rosary for Life campaign that we've been working on with EWTN and the Napa Institute. Father Rocky is a priest of Opus Dei. He was ordained by Pope St. John Paul II. And of course, you can honor Our Lady of the Rosary and pray the Rosary for Life with Father Rocky for the Family Rosary across America with all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app, and of course, your smart TV. Good morning, Father Rocky. It is such a joy to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, John, it's great to be with you and your listeners, and a tip of the hat to your producer who put that bumper music on of Sweet Home Chicago.
Of course, just for you.
Yeah, I love it. You know, what a movie. the Blues Brothers. You know, it's really quite unique. But anyway, that always gets me to go. You're right. It was 450 years ago, that a saintly pope, Pius V, who before he was pope was kind of like out of favor because the previous pope banished him. Did you know that? The previous pope banished Pius V when he was cardinal. You know why he banished him? Because Pius V, when he was a cardinal, told the previous pope, you can't appoint your 12-year-old nephew as a cardinal. That's just plain wrong. And so it's amazing how things can change so quickly in the church. And then that pope died, and then the other cardinals chose him to be a pope. He wasn't pope for that long of a time, but he was a great saint. And he knew that all of Christendom was being threatened by the Muslim Turks. They were on an expansion policy. They were harassing Cyprus and Malta and Greece and Albania and the shores of Italy and Sicily and all that. And he finally said, enough is enough. You know, we've got to stop this, because it was terrifying. You know, they would land on the shores. They would burn the villages. They'd do all sorts of unspeakable crimes. I'm choosing my words carefully so not to horrify people. Let's just call them unspeakable crimes. They would kidnap the young boys, bring them back to their villages and brainwash them. And then 10 years later, they would release them as soldiers in their cause. So it was just a really, really uncertain time. So Pius V, St. Pius V, was able to do what no pope was able to do for 250 years. He was able to unite Christians by calling everyone to pray the rosary for the safety of Christendom. And he passed out rosaries to the people, and they had rosary processions in Rome. And he appointed John of Austria, Don Juan of Austria, as the head of the fleet, which was really kind of likely because he was only 21 years old. And people rallied from Spain and Portugal and from Italy and the Papal States and Venice and Naples and such. And so they set out for sail from the Bay of Syracuse on September 15th, 1571, which was the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, and they surprised the Turkish fleet in the Bay of Lepanto in Greece on the morning of October 7th. And the Christian fleet was outnumbered, maybe 2-1. And the sun was in their eyes, the wind was in their eyes, and the clouds were in their eyes. So they had every disadvantage. But then at the hour of noon, the Angelus, everything changed. The sun went behind them, the wind changed, the smoke changed. And they carried the day. It was a miraculous event, because everyone was praying the rosary. And that's why we call October the month of the rosary, because this Thursday, October 7th, commemorates that extraordinary victory, the intercession of the Blessed Mother. And the title of that feast is Our Lady of the Rosary, also known as Our Lady of Victory. But there's also a couple other events in October which are pretty big. Coming up this Saturday, October 9th, is the anniversary of the apparition of Our Blessed Mother to Adele Bryce at Champion, Wisconsin in 1859. Now, many of our listeners maybe never heard of this before, but it's the shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, and it is the only approved apparition of Our Lady in the United States of America and Canada. This is very unusual. In the last 500 years, only 21 apparitions, reported apparitions of Blessed Mother, have been approved. Several hundred have not been approved, but this one is, and this is the only one. And she appeared to Adele Bryce, and 12 years later to the day when the city of Chicago burned down, because we're coming up on the 150th anniversary of the Chicago fire. Northern Wisconsin burned down, but anyone who got to the little chapel at the shrine, they were saved. So that's another reason why October is the month of the rosary. And the third is because next Wednesday, October 13th, do you know what happened on October 13th, 1917?
Absolutely, Father Aki. Actually, I was there on the very grounds where that miracle happened, the great miracle of the sun, where the sun moved for about 12 minutes, and it was an unbelievable event seen by 70 to 100,000 people. And I had the blessing of being there in Fatima and standing right there on that ground. And we're going to definitely talk about that much more as we get closer to the feast of the remembrance of the miracle of the sun on October 13th, Father.
So I've been there once. It's fascinating, really fascinating, because St. John Paul II was the target of an attempted assassination, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, May 13th, 1981. Everything that church changed the church's consciousness of that event in Those prophecies Our Lady gave to the three children, Lucia, Jacinta, and Francisco. Two of them have been canonized, Francisco, Jacinta. So a lot going on in the month of the Rosary. Here's a little interesting tidbit. You know, Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego, St. Juan Diego, in 1531 in Mexico. 40 years later, an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe was on the flagship of that fleet under the Admiralty of Juan of Austria, Don Juan of Austria. Isn't that something?
That is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And that image, which was in that ship, is now in Genoa because Andrea Doria was an admiral from Genoa, and he brought that back. And here's another interesting tidbit. If you ever get to Barcelona, in the cathedral, I think it's our Santa Maria del Mar, as you walk in, it's an old cathedral. It's from the Middle Ages, Gothic. As you walk in to the right, if I recall correctly, there is a side chapel, as there are many of these old churches, where they have the Blessed Sacrament. But the altarpiece of that altar is actually the prow of one of the Spanish galleons, a ship that was in that Bay of Lepanto battle. That's really quite fascinating. So I wrote a book last year called Mary at the Crossroads of History. I'm quite fascinated on how the Blessed Mother can and has and does and will intervene in human history. Now we're asking her to intervene in American human history right now so that we can get rid of the scourge of abortion in our country because it's killing all our babies.
Absolutely.
And the Supreme Court is going to be taking up this issue during the session. And they sort of tipped their hand in the summer by upholding the Texas heartbeat law 5-4. And this could lead to an end to legal abortion in our country. But we need prayers. We need everyone joining us every single night of October at 7 p.m. Central Time to pray the Family Rosary across America. We've reached out to all sorts of people to push this. EWTN is pushing. They get 8 rosaries a day on their radio and TV. And Knapp Institute is pushing it. And the Knights of Columbus are beginning to push it. Catholic University of America is pushing it. Ave Maria University. Everybody listening, you can push it in your parishes, in your neighborhood. You can pray it in the car, on a plane, in the train, wherever you want, right? And if you can't join us at 7 p.m., you can do it on demand. If you can't do it on demand, you can do it on the app. But everyone, this is the time. This is our last chance because the time is ticking, the clock is ticking, and we need Our Lady to intervene in human history. So the Supreme Court judges have wisdom and courage to do the right thing.
Well, Father, we have a lot more to talk about. I want to dive into a little bit more of how this incredible collaborative effort with EWTN and the Napa Institute came together. But first, we have to take a little break. I also want to invite our listeners, if anybody who's listening wants to share how they love praying the Rosary with Father Rocky, or perhaps you just pray it on your own, or you want to share what the Rosary means to you here in the month of the Rosary, or you might have another question or comment for our Marian expert, Father Rocky. Lines are open at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short break. We'll continue talking about Our Lady of the Rosary and our Rosary for Life campaign with Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky. Stay with us. Much more to come on the other side. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester. Six minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation about Our Lady of the Rosary, the month of Rosary, and our Rosary for Life campaign with Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky. Father Rocky, welcome back.
Hey, welcome back, John. Too bad we have to talk. I liked listening to that.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
It's always great. It really always stops you in your tracks, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Father, we got so much going on here in this month of October, but I'm so excited about this great initiative, this collaboration with EWTN and the Napa Institute to pray together to end legal abortion. How did this all come about?
Yeah, well, good question. So here's the story here. I've been convinced for a long time that the Blessed Mother is sort of the bridge between heaven and earth. She's completely human. She's not divine, but she's the mother of Jesus, and Jesus is God, so we call her the Mother of God. And we believe that when you die, your soul lasts forever, and those who are saved are in heaven. And yes, they partake and see the beauty of God and all that, but also angels and saints, we know from experience, also from the teaching of the church, that they can help us here on earth. How do they help us? Not on their own power. They get the power from God, just like Mary helped on the day at Cana. She didn't change the water into wine, but she facilitated that miracle, right? She said, Jesus, they don't have any wine. And next thing you know, they've got wine, right? So Mary plays a role in that that miracle. So from heaven, the Blessed Mother, as the Queen of Angels and Saints, certainly is aware of what's going on. If we turn to her, she can intercede for us. And, you know, for a long time, I mean, you know, abortion has been something that I've been aware of since I was in eighth grade. I remember when the Supreme Court came out with this in January of 1973, I was shocked. I was scandalized. I couldn't believe that could happen in America. I only thought it would last for a while. You know, like the prohibition, you know, that only lasted for a while. I've seen it akin to slavery that, you know, it's and it's very rude. It's evil. It can't last forever. I thought it would go away after 40 years because 40 years is sort of a biblical number, right? 40 years in the desert. We started praying the Memorare on air every hour. I don't know what, back in 2010? And no, we started a Memorare meter. I think it was after the merger with the Mac and Hart radio in 2016, 2017. We started praying the Memorare on air every hour. And we keep track of it because we have a pretty good sense of how many people are listening at some time. Now and then you get people who complain about numbers. Like God's not interested in numbers. I totally disagree with that. I mean, there's a whole book of numbers in the Bible.
And
there's numbers all over the New Testament, all right? How many apostles there are. There's 12. We know how many disciples, 72. We know how many people were fed, 5,000. We know how many loaves there is, 5 and 2. On and on and on and on and on. When things are important to you, you count them.
13. Right? Blessed NFL, Mother appeared
NFL,
on the 13th.
The NFL, yeah. Every Sunday counts every single statistic. The NBA does. So when people tell me God's not interested in numbers, I don't know what God they're talking about, right?
Sure.
Because it's clear all over the pages, right? It's true he didn't tell us to count the sheep, but he told us to feed the sheep. We got to feed the sheep. And so, you know, I thought, you know, wow, how many memoraries will it take to tip the scale? I thought maybe 60 million because there's been 60 million abortions. I think next week we're going to push through 400 million memoraries. And now we're trying to get a million people to pray the rosary every night. I knew we couldn't do it on our own unless some like big thing happened. And then I think the big thing happened. We decided to be humble and realize we can't do it ourselves. That's the big thing. So I reached out to Tim Bush at Napa Institute. He's on the board at EWTN. Reached out to Michael Warsaw at EWTN and said, hey, why don't we do the rosary every night during October for this intention? I really didn't think EWTN would broadcast our rosary because they've got rosaries coming out their ears, right? So they're doing fine. But they agreed and said, yeah, let's do a joint press release. And we could have gotten more organizations involved. I'm sure we didn't have time, right? And we're not being disrespectful to any other organization out there. There's so many great organizations like Holy Cross Family Ministries and Father Patrick Payton and Fellowship of Catholic University Students Focus and St. Paul's Outreach and Net Ministries and 40 Days for Life and Knights of Columbus and St. Vincent Paul, on and on and on, right? You could get them. But anyway, we're able to get this done, and we released that last Monday. It's getting traction out there. It's being picked up in the national and international press. And we just want to get that grass fire going. So you can join us on Family Rosary Across America every night at 7 p.m. live, audio or video. You could do it from your home. You could do it in your car. You could listen to it later on demand because it becomes a podcast. You could pray the rosary on our app at your own leisure. And there we've got it in three different versions: in English, regular, extra, and super duper.
Extra crispy.
Regular 15 minutes, extra 17 with a little music, and 28, you know, that's super duper. It's got the litany and the meditations from St. Jose Maria. You could pray it at EWTN. They've got like 8 different times a day. You could do it with napkins. You could do it on your own. You could do it with your family. You could do it in the car. You can do it in the train. You can do it in the plane. You can do walking, sitting, biking, knitting. You can do it. I'm not going to be Dr. Seuss here, but yeah, right? The more people praying at the same time, the stronger the prayers. And we hear that every night when they call in on the radio thanking God. And I love it when the children call in because it means the family's there. And you know you're planting a seed for the future. We had one boy call in from New Jersey last night, 11 years old. It was birthday. And I said, I tell you what, if you run for president of the United States when you're older, I'll sing you happy birthday tonight. He said, it's a deal. So he sang him happy birthday.
You got to love it. Well, Father Rocky, we have a few callers who
sure, let's go
would
to the calls.
Love to share their love of the Family Rosary across America. We go to Anne in Queens, New York. Anne, you're on with Father Rocky. Good morning.
Hi, Anne.
Good morning. Hey, thank you. Father Rocky, my husband and I pray with you every evening. And I really want to tell you, Father, you're amazing. The smile, the twinkle in your eye, the glimmer of happiness on your face. When you keep such an upbeat attitude spiritually, no matter what we're going through and what we're praying for, the very grave issues we're praying for, the sorrows and the hurts of people that call in all over the place. And then you smile. You get that call and you smile and your eyes light up. And there's this hope. And
well, Anne, I'm half Irish. Anne, I'm half Irish.
Well, God
so
bless
I attribute
you.
That to my.
I attribute Anne.
God bless you, because my mother's name was Anne. So I attribute the good humor to my mother. But my father was a lot of fun too. But also my grandmother Murphy. Gosh, she was something. She would look me in the eye, and she'd say, "Honey, the situation is hopeless, but not serious." So we'll get through this, and I'm glad you guys join us. It's it energizes me. And somebody said, "Oh, Father, how long you be doing this every night?" I said, "Till I die." Thanks, Ann. Okay,
one more thing, my husband sings with you "Happy Birthday" whenever you sing to
isn't
other
that great?
People.
Hey, how about that 11-year-old last night? He said he'd run for president of the country if I sang him "Happy Birthday."
He did. I hope we're still alive by then.
I think
Thank
we will.
You,
I was
Father
thinking,
Rocky,
I was thinking, yeah. You know, when he's 40 running for president, I'll be 90. I'll probably be in a nursing home and say, "Hey, there's that kid from New Jersey. He's going to be president."
And thanks so much for joining us. Keep praying with Father Rocky. We go from Queens to Dallas, Texas. Ashley, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Father
Rocky. Hi, Ashley in Dallas. Have you seen our billboards on your expressway yet?
I haven't. I'm a little bit west, okay. Mostly, so I haven't seen those.
Right.
I'll keep an eye out, though.
Yep, we just put them up yesterday, so you'll see them. So, Ashley, what's your question?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking for some tips or guidance on maybe how to stay better focused during the rosary. I used to do a good job,
sure.
And now it seems my mind is just wandering all the time.
Absolutely. All right. So I like to tell people there's no such thing as a bad rosary. We all have distractions. Sometimes you can be very pious and focused when it's really intense and you're on your knees in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And sometimes you just do the best you can. All right. So I've had experience over the last 45 years, believe it or not, in youth ministry ever since I was a kid. And one of the things I found most formative for young men is take them on a mountain climbing trip. Not a dangerous trip, just a rugged trip, you know, climb 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 feet during a day. It's tough and all that. And we found that, hey, let's pray the rosary as we're walking. It gets their mind off the pain. It's not super pious, but it's a beautiful thing being a popular devotion that there's a variety of ways you can pray it. So what I find helps me to be most focused when I pray in the rosary is two things, to have a special intention I'm praying for. Right, that I'm really intent on. And then the second is I just like to focus on one phrase from the Hail Mary, and that is, "Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us." And she's like, you're talking to her. Pray for us, right? You're reaching right out there. And then if you get distracted, you get distracted, but push on, all right? And don't worry too much about that. And you can see the way we do the rosary at night, it's not choreographed. I hope it's not interpreted as disrespectful. It's not everybody's cup of tea because it's a little bit, you know, crazy and active and you never know what's going to happen, but it's real. It's so real. You know, you get one intention, it just breaks your heart. And then you get a little kid who calls in and he charms you, you know, and that's kind of life. You know, it's, as they say in Italian, chiora oscuro, the light and the shadows make up the fabric of life. So, and just the fact that you're trying it, it's great. And I want to encourage you to persevere in that.
Thanks so much, Ashley. Appreciate it. Father Rocky, thanks for your time. You never cease to amaze me with your love for our Blessed Mother. Thanks so much.
John, God bless.
Thank you. God bless you too. Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, CEO of Relevant Radio. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today called One Good Word by Joseph Mazzella. I loved my first grade teacher. Her name was Mrs. Gross, but there was nothing gross about her. She had such a sweet smile and a kind way about her. I wasn't sure what her age was at the time, but she already looked very grandmotherly. She was soft-spoken and had a very gentle sense of humor. Unlike some teachers, she never yelled or criticized her students. To me, it felt like having a second grandmother as my teacher. Every day, I arrived at her classroom and sat happily at my desk with a big smile on my face. Throughout all my years of school, I always remembered the times I spent in her classroom the most fondly. One such memory is still with me to this day. We were doing subtraction math problems that were printed on the chalkboard while Mrs. Gross walked through the classroom checking on her work. I finished first and lifted my head up just as Mrs. Gross walked up behind me. She looked at my work and smiled, and she said, "This is really good work, Joe. You're a very smart boy." And as she walked on, she gently touched my shoulder, and I felt a tingle in my heart. It felt so good to be seen, felt so good to be appreciated. From that moment on, I always tried my best. I always worked hard. I always wanted to be as smart as she thought I already was. Would I have done as good in school or in life if I hadn't had Mrs. Gross as my first grade teacher? I don't think so. She awakened a desire in me to be the best person I could be. With her gentle love and encouragement, I started down a wonderful path I'm still on today. David White wrote, "People are hungry. One good word is bread for a thousand." I think the good words Mrs. Gross gave me helped me to share my own good words with others. I think the love and kindness that she showed helped me to give love and kindness to others. Mrs. Gross showed me just how much effect one soul could have on another, and I thank God for putting her in my life. In this life, we give much more than we realize. Every kind word, every loving act, every helping hand is a treasure in the eyes of God, and the goodness we share has effects that ripple out through the entire universe. Fill your days with good words, then. Make your life a gift of love. Help God make a better world by being the best you. From Proverbs 18:4, a person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Don't forget to honor Our Lady of the Rosary. Pray the Rosary for Life with Father Rocky with the Family Rosary Across America tonight at 7 p.m. Let your light shine before all. God love you. In honor of St. Faustina today, pray, "Jesus, I trust in you." The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.